Congratulations. You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast with me, Kay Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
Okay, Maysoon, we got an email because, okay, so we took last week off because I went to visit my mom.
Was it her birthday or something cute?
Yeah, it was her birthday on the 21st. Do you have any recriminations?
I don't have any recriminations, but I would like to wish your mother a very wonderful happy birthday, belated birthday.
Good. I was going to record with her, but then we didn't get around to it because we were too busy building a shelter out of sticks in her backyard.
I saw a picture and it made me laugh out loud, and I desperately wish there was some recording from it.
I know, because I've been watching that reality show Alone, where they just put somebody alone out in the wilderness.
Oh my God. Worst nightmare ever. One of my worst nightmares, I think. What do you? Really? How about you? Being out in the wilderness by yourself?
I think I really romanticize it a lot.
Oh, God. It sounds kind of, I mean, I think I always attribute this to me being a city kid, like at heart, ultimately.
Yeah.
As much as I love going camping and hiking, if I were to be alone, I think I would let like the night terrors take over.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, don't do it.
I would be panicked.
Don't do it.
I'd be like, there's someone following me. Oh, my God.
But Maysoon, there's nobody. That's the thing, is there's no one out there.
That's what you think.
Oh, my God. Okay, so you think the Yeti is going to get you.
The woods are filled with hiding creeps.
Oh, wow.
Waiting to take
you. That is a real city mentality.
Waiting to take you to their cave.
Wow. Okay.
Forever and ever.
Okay, well, on that note.
Everyone ignore me. It's so not true. The woods are beautiful and should be enjoyed and appreciated before they're fucking burned down or taken away by our current government.
Okay, well, Maysoon, speaking of government, we got an email in response to our voter guide from M. Eifler.
Okay.
They wanted to voice disagreement about Prop 25. So this is what email says. I respectfully disagree with your position on cash bail for three specific reasons. I'm not an expert, but this is my understanding based on the text of the bill as well as outside research. Number one, currently bail numbers are set by judges using systems which incorporate similar metrics to those that would be used in a non-cash bail system. So while the new system would be no less racist than the current system, it would eliminate the predation of arrestees' female family members by the bail bonds industry. Okay, number two, in your podcast, you stated that the new system would have no oversight. However, the text of the law clearly states that yearly audits would be conducted on the new system, the results of which would be accessible by the public. Number three, while not an ideal reform of the justice system, it is a form of harm reduction as well as a measure to force jurisdictions out of stagnant long-term status quo thinking. I mean, it was a tough one. I still am pretty much no on it.
Like, think similar. I agree and think similarly to what the writer or the caller is saying, but I think for me the larger concern is once we implement this new system of like that new system, I feel like it's hard to like reverse things, you know, like
especially when it's going through in a proposition.
Yeah, I just, so for me, I'm sort of like, I am all for getting rid of cash bail, but I feel like this was like, get rid of cash bail and implement this new system that's equally racist and fucked up potentially or very likely. And I just feel like that to me, maybe if we could have a better understanding of how that system really works and what they're actually, we do know what they're measuring. They're measuring like how often someone's been an offender, which is like often those reasons are also racially charged or racially informed. So I just feel like there's a whole layer of things that like, I'm totally for getting rid of cash bail. I just feel like when you have this one thing that seems like a really good idea and then it's like buffered by this like other thing that's just going to continue this fucked up system. I just feel like let's go back to the drawing board and let's work it out where it feels like it can actually be a much better system.
Well, I'm just like with the algorithm, once they decide, no, you have a, like we've decided that there's a high chance of recidivism, then you're trapped. Mm-hmm. Like, at least with cash bail, like, you have some chance to get out. With the algorithm, once you're in, and that's that. But I deeply respect, I think anybody, you know, it's a complicated issue, and obviously, you know, people vote the way they think they should. Okay, we got an email in from Maureen Harrison about visualizing abolition at UC Santa Cruz with Angela Davis. And the Barring Freedom exhibition. Oh, oh lordy. Cool.
When is that?
I don't know. Did it already happen? No, it's coming up. So the exhibition is going to be at the San Jose Museum of Art, plus a participatory public art project at UC Santa Cruz, both. October 30th through April 25th. And then there's going to be a presentation of the exhibition at John Jay College of Criminal Justice in New York City.
Oh, awesome.
Well, and that's going to be online. Oh, yeah? No. And then there's going to be all these online projects that have already launched. They started on October 20th. And so this is the thing. Go check it out. I'll put a link in the Underworld.
Can you put a link in Underworld? That'll be helpful.
I'll put a fucking link in the motherfucking Underworld. Okay, did you hear that BAM PFA has a new curator for the Eli Leon Collection of African American Quilts?
No, I didn't even know they had a collection of quilts.
Eli Leon had a shit ton of quilts, okay? And they showed them at the Oakland Museum when I was a gallery guide there. So I remember all about him. But they have an exhibition coming up, or maybe it's up already, the Rosie Lee Tompkins Retrospective. Oh. She was a very prolific quilt artist. Eli Leon was a practicing psychotherapist living in Oakland when a chance encounter with the work of Rosie Lee Tompkins, the pseudonym used by Effie Mae Howard, then an unknown artist who he met at a flea market in 1985, the year I was born, sparked a deep interest in the textile traditions of African American artists. Through his friendship with Tompkins, Leon began to establish relationships with the African American quilting community in the Bay Area, developing an avid collecting practice that became a national in scope.
Huh.
Eventually, he closed his psychotherapy practice to devote himself full-time to the collection and study of African-American quilts, receiving a Guggenheim Fellowship in 1989 to conduct a research and acquisition trip to the American South.
Wow.
That seems odd. This whole thing sounds so weird. But his collection is pretty incredible.
Yeah.
He organized multiple exhibitions across the country and wrote for numerous publications, including an essay for BAM PFA's 1997 show of Tompkins' work, which launched her national reputation.
Very cool. I assume he collects work other than her work. Yeah. I mean, there's probably a million other.
Yeah. All over the stuff. Nationally.
Nationally.
If anybody has any thoughts on that, you can give us a call. 419-351-6606. You can tweet us at Pine Tree Podcast. You can also text the phone number that I said. Did I say email us? Email us. Congratulationspinetree@gmail.com. Okay. There's a group exhibition at Knesset Gallery. Do you know where that is?
No.
That's at 708 Montgomery Street, the corner of Montgomery and Washington in San Francisco.
Oh.
They're taking reservations.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Okay. The name of the show is It's Not One Thing, It's Everything.
That's true.
That sums it up, I'd say.
I think that's pretty accurate, not knowing anything about the show.
Okay. Also, there's stuff going on. The lab presents two new programs in addressing racial reckoning at museums.
Oh, great.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The lab's forum series has been an integral part of how our artist and activist community has been navigating lockdown. Okay, so the forum is welcoming writer and activist Zoe Samudzi, who is amazing and I follow on Twitter.
Oh, cool.
In conversation with Nicholas Murzoff. And that's going to be October 22nd, so that already happened.
Classic.
Okay, so the lab. Okay, so we missed the first one of these. It was on October 22nd. But there's going to be a new one. SOMART's executive director, Maria Jensen, is going to be in conversation with artist George McCallman.
Oh, yeah.
On November 11th. Okay, November 11th. Mark your calendar.
George is an old friend of mine. We used to work together at Mother Jones, like, ages ago. He's fantastic.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I love him. Oh, that's going to be really sweet.
Okay, great. And so that's going to be Wednesday, November 11th at 6 p.m. I'll put a link in the Underworld where you can RSVP.
Everyone go to that.
Yeah. You can go from your home. You can be in the bathtub.
You can just do it.
Okay. Control Shift is looking for new people for their community. You have a little artist studio. I sound like my grandma or something. You can get yourself a little artist studio. Four studios will be available starting November 1st. Applications are due, and they're already, the deadline has passed. So
shit.
You might want to reach out to them and see if they will squeak you in anyway. Okay. We really blew it not doing an episode last week.
There were so many things.
That's on me. Okay, there's a new documentary called Crutch featuring Bill Shannon Shatter's Illusions of Disability. Co-directors Sachi Cunningham and Chandler Evans' sprawling, exhaustive chronicle of performance and visual artist action sports athlete Bill Shannon and his life and work across myriad artistic and athletic disciplines.
Okay.
What do you say to that? It's going to have its world premiere in November at Doc NYC.
Oh.
I don't know why they're emailing us. This is totally personalized to us, Maysoon. They said Emily Smith Bitix at the Longmore Institute at SF State put us on to you.
Okay, yeah.
Thank you, Emily Smith Bitix. Thank you.
Is there a way to watch a documentary in the Bay Area?
I think so.
Okay.
How do we watch it, guys?
Yeah, can we watch it from here? I guess it's if it's the screening in New York is probably going to be online anyhow. So just watch it online.
Yeah, right? Nobody can be anywhere.
Yeah.
Look, I'm going to put a link to this. Crutch takes the audience on a journey that literally spans the entire globe. The documentary features the abandoned Pittsburgh steel mills of Bill's childhood, his diagnosis with leg calve Perth's disease, a rare degenerative condition of the hip, the underground NYC breakdance battles of his 20s, his groundbreaking performance in Sydney, Quebec, Madrid, Helsinki, Moscow, London, Paris, Tokyo, and more. Crutch is a global story, a powerful story, a transformational story, and one which will have you reevaluating your own perspectives. My God.
Wow.
Okay, so I'll put a link in the underworld. You can check this out. There's a still here. It looks pretty interesting. Plus, you love performance.
I do love performance. So, wait, he's a dancer?
Yeah, he's a dancer.
Got it.
He's looks like he's maybe a skater.
Okay, interesting.
Got it all.
I love performance, but I don't necessarily love sports. So when they
well,
said
skating
when
is not
sports.
Oh, when they said
no,
athlete.
Okay, but when you
I
said sport in the beginning,
I
got a little bit confused. I was like, I was sort of slightly lost interest because of that word for some reason, which is just weird. But
you love basketball.
I do like sports as a thing, so it's kind of like. I don't know. I have a weird disconnect with sports and art, perhaps, maybe. But it sounds like it's not like I think of
no,
sports
it's
as
like,
football, which is weird.
But basketball.
Basketball is not a sport.
What is it to you? It's a performance piece.
Basketball is a performance piece. Beautiful performance piece.
Okay, Maysoon, give us the update. I heard that the Arts Commission has reopened the Maya Angelou Lava Thomas prop
oh, yeah.
thing.
That's right.
So give us the
well,
scoop.
So this week was a full on, every week is a full on doozy for some reason or another.
Okay, but
Maysoon,
let's go ahead and say that we both are speaking as individuals and not as representatives of any organization, business, institution, governmental branch, or entity.
That is correct. Me in particular, Maysoon in particular. Is definitely speaking as an individual and not as a representative of any place where she may work.
Perfect.
Like how I spoke about myself in the third person, that's very weird.
It's fine.
Okay. So this week, this is all public, everyone. This has been all announced on the Visual Arts Committee meeting that happened on Wednesday. You can go get that. And you can just, if you did a quick Google search, SFAC Visual Art Committee meeting, you would be taken to a page on SFGov with minutes, with the, you got the agenda, you got the minutes, you got the recording, you got everything. So you can listen to it all. It all took place during the director's report, which is usually at the very beginning of the meeting. But basically, it sounds like the whole debacle with Lava Thomas and the Maya Angelou Monument. Lava Thomas is a Bay Area artist. She had initially won an award to create a monument in honor of Dr. Maya Angelou. This happened last year in 2019.
Oh, yeah. And listeners, longtime listeners of the show will know the saga.
They're probably bored. They're probably like, please stop talking about this thing. I'm really sorry. But I also feel like you will
this
all
like
want to know.
Big climax, it feels like.
It's huge. You'll all want to know that Lava was able to get a conversation with our mayor, with Mayor Breed, and with Supervisor Stephanie, who was the supervisor that sort of spearheaded this legislation around getting more monuments to living women in the city.
Yes.
so that she was able to get a meeting with those two women to talk about this. I don't know. Obviously, I wasn't in that meeting. I don't know what happened in that meeting. But the outcome certainly was an apology by Supervisor Stephanie, a public apology to Laba Thomas at the Visual Arts Committee meeting, which is incredible because that has been one of the things that everyone, as Lava, See Black Women Collective, the staff at the Arts Commission, like everyone's God, been they, asking for, like, yeah. can we just acknowledge that what happened was terrible and should never have happened, and just like acknowledge that this is a living human being who's been wronged? Like, let's just say sorry. Like, let's say sorry and move on. I think that was like one huge thing that everyone just wanted to happen.
Yeah.
But for various reasons that couldn't happen. And I think the other thing that was sort of announced without much detail was that Lava would be able to move forward and with the original sculpture monument that she proposed. And so we don't really know the details of that, but that at some point that will happen.
Wow.
Which is crazy.
That blows my fucking mind.
It's just crazy. We've come 100% full circle.
Yeah. That blows my mind, Maysoon.
I know. And I will say, I think the supervisor made a really nice apology, actually. I think some of, you know, you're always kind of like, well, is it going to be like this very officious thing that's like brief and cold? But it was actually quite, I think it was really well done. So yeah. I really appreciate the effort put into that, certainly.
That's wild.
Yeah.
It took a long time and a crazy. Lot of work.
Well, this whole thing started, it started way before this, but the first meeting where they decided that Lava wasn't that there was an issue. Like the first meeting that kind of claimed there was something wrong and that she couldn't actually move forward with the project was, I believe, August of 2019.
Isn't that wild? So it's been
slightly over a year
yeah.
since this whole thing. And I feel really grateful to all of the community members who have taken part in to express their, you know, dismay at the way this is handled. I think there were a lot of voices, especially Lava and especially See Black Women.
Yes, who I mean,
very
just
much persisted,
but
did not back down. Yeah, huge, huge, huge respect to them. But it's like, you know, everyone could have chose to just be like, oh, this is just another way shit gets done, another way Black women get disrespected in this world. Let's just fucking move on and just be like, that's just how is. And we would have never gotten to this point. And so I just think, this is what fighting for something can look like.
Yes.
And I think it's really important for people to know, like, it's not futile. It doesn't have to be futile. If you really believe in it, if you really put your heart into it, it's just things can change. And I feel like we're in a very, very pivotal moment in our world, in our tiny society, in our tiny world and in our bigger world, right? Like just you and your household, you and your work community, you and your larger community, our city, our nation, our world, right? Like there's just so much going on. I feel like it's very exciting. It's very nerve-wracking and stressful, but it's like, this is a huge moment for all of us. And I think let's just keep being active and engaged in all the things we can try to change.
Hell yeah. I think every artist who's, you know, I think this really sets a good precedent for artists that, you know, get fucked over like that. And now you see that actually, you know, you don't have to just roll over to these institutions.
Yeah.
It feels so often that institutions fuck over artists and that's just, you know, that's the end of the story.
Well, and I think so often what happens is that there's like an initial sort of like, hey, what you did was wrong. We're mad at you. You need to do something right or do right. But and then that goes away. The institution's like, oh yeah, yeah, pat, pat, pat. We know we did something wrong. Sorry, we can't change it. It's just the way it is.
Right.
But I think there's just been so many groups holding, like Non-Neutral Alliance, right, holding institutions accountable for their fucked up behavior and not letting it go and really holding them to the fire. And I think every institution is watching that. Every institution is kind of shaking in their boots and like, we got to resolve shit because people aren't going to drop it at this point. Like, we can't get away with it anymore.
Yeah.
Again, like, shout out to No Neutral Alliance also for fucking holding SF MoMA to the fire, like really doing that and making every institution observe and watch and have to consider their own actions and, you know, not not supporting artists in an appropriate way or workers in an appropriate way.
Yeah. Maysoon Alley Cat Bookstore is reopening. A lot of the bookstores are reopening.
Everything's reopening. It's making me very nervous.
Well,
as much as I love everyone and want them to survive.
Yeah.
Wait, Alley Cat's reopening?
Cool. Do we like Alley Cat?
I love Alley Cat.
Okay, great.
Absolutely love them. The workers there are phenomenal. They have a great selection of books. They have an art gallery in the background. They have all sorts of film screenings and book readings. I mean, they've got great things going on.
They also are going to start selling vinyl records.
Oh, my God. Everyone's like, let's do everything to stay alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe it. You got to do what you got to do, people.
They have been closed since March.
Yeah.
And they will be reopening October 29th.
Yeah. Participate in the reopening as best you can. Like, if you don't want to go inside, give them a call and see if you can do a order it over the phone and pick up, do a quick pickup.
Yeah, curbside pickup.
Yeah, like just try your best to really support our local small businesses, because we know they're struggling. They've all been closed and barely functioning for the past, 7 or 8 months? It's huge. That's crazy.
Yeah, you can even just like order so from a local bookshop and then have it delivered to you. You don't even have to leave your home.
Do they do delivery? How does that work?
Like, you order it and they send it to you in the mail. Did you know that the country's first wildlife refuge was established in 1870, and the name of that wildlife refuge is Motherfucking Lake Merritt.
Motherfucking Lake Merritt? I've never heard of that place.
It is the country's first wildlife refuge.
Did it always used to have motherfucking in front of its title?
Yes, since 1870, 150 years.
That's amazing. I did not know Lake Merritt was a wildlife refuge, but I guess is that because of all the geese that live there?
All the different birds, all kinds of different birds, not just geese.
All kinds of birds. Okay. I mostly just know the geese there. Wow. Is there a huge, is it part of like a migration? It must be part of like migration.
I don't know. It's probably just because this rich asshole was like, I love this lake. And then asked his rich.
I live in Piedmont.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Well, whatever happened, it happened 150 years ago. And now there's a documentary about it.
Oh my God, there's a documentary about everything.
And sure enough, there's a fucking...
Did you watch it?
There's an introduction by Libby Schaff.
Oh yeah. See? Forget it.
Okay,
everything needs to be a
fuck Libby Schaff, but if you want to learn all about Lake Merritt, there's a documentary about it, and you can watch it for free online. I'm going to put a link in the underworld.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay, if it's free online, I might participate, but maybe not.
Yeah, just turn your ad blocker on, and they won't make a dime. I'm sure the documentarians are fine people.
Okay.
Everybody, check out Oakland Side and Berkeley Side are some new local publications about news and all kinds, and they are completely independent.
Oh, cool.
They have some great reporters there.
I wanted to give a quick shout out. Sorry, can I?
Please.
I didn't mention
that. I'm not saying anything.
I wanted to give a quick shout out to Root Division. One of our local nonprofit arts organizations here in San Francisco just had their 19th annual art auction, and I'm sure it was online and I forgot to go, but I just feel like, I guess I just want to say to people that it's never too late to donate to your favorite art organization.
Oh, they're taking donations year round.
Right. So even if you missed like the big fundraising event, you can still go to their website and donate. $5, $10, $20, $40, whatever you can give to places, they all appreciate it. It's a rough time everyone. If you have a little extra cash, go ahead and give it out.
Speaking of fundraisers, Monster Drawing Rally is coming up. It's going to be online this year, obviously. And they are...
Are you going to be drawing?
Yes, I am. Hopefully. Okay, I kind of didn't RSVP with the special link. Like I RSVP'd when they sent me the thing where you fill out the form and say, this is who I am. This is what my deal is. But then they sent a link where you had to create an account for the service they're using to, put it on.
Yeah.
And I was supposed to do it by the 22nd, and I just did it this morning.
Oh, well, they know
the Antichrist.
You, Kate.
Okay.
They know you. They're like, that damn bitch is always trying to make our jobs harder.
I know. God bless. Okay, so invite your friends to the Monster Drawing Rally. Come one, come all. It's going to be sliding scale, $0 to $25 for a ticket, but you do have to RSVP to join. So,
and it's on the 29th, isn't it?
That is absolutely correct.
At 7 p.m. That's Thursday. It's coming up on Thursday, you guys.
Wait, it's so okay. Earlier than 7?
Oh, you know, usually it used to start at 6, no, but maybe it does they're start not at doing. 7.
You're right. You're
maybe
right.
Maybe they're not doing. I mean, they usually do the 4 shifts, but because everyone's online, they don't need to break
to
it up.
8:30. Yeah, 7
oh,
to
8:30. So short. So everyone's drawing at the same time, basically.
I think that's correct. And I will put a link in the underworld. It is hopin, hopin.to/events/monster-drawing-rally. But I'll put a link in the underworld if you don't want to have to type that all out.
And if any of you experience SoX's auction, this is probably going to be, I mean, that auction was really well done for the online world. It was I haven't seen anything done as well as that. I was like, wow.
Me either.
Complicated. I have no idea how any of this is happening. I was very compelled the whole time.
Yeah, they nailed it.
they totally nailed it. And I bet you MDR is going to be something similar. Do you have any idea how you're expected to participate? Like, are you actually going to be drawing from home?
I think the visitor, all the artists will be like live streaming.
Okay. Oh my God, that's going to be like a, I hope that's going to be crazy. Intensive. Yeah. So artists are drawing. So
but there's going to be groupings. Like, I think each of the artists are going to be in separate little clumps.
Oh, like breakout sessions?
Katie broke her damn foot.
Oh, no. Is she like in a cast and shit, or is she just like hobbling around?
She's got that little boot on.
Oh, no. Poor Katie. God, that sucks so bad.
It's bad times right now. Mercury's in retrograde. You know, there's going to be...
Until the election, right?
Yep. Oh, literally.
God, what a nightmare.
Plus, there's going to be a full moon on Halloween, and it's the second full moon of the month.
What?
Second full moon of the month,
that's
which
called
is
a blue
moon.
Yes.
Yep.
On Halloween? How scary and exciting. What are you going to do?
Yeah, dude.
Oh, my God.
I kind of want to go to the Headlands.
Oh,
like the
scary.
Shore there.
You want to see if the ghosts
that's
come
where
out,
I was.
Don't you?
In 2016, when the election happened, I was at the Headlands helping Carrie Haught with the project she was doing out there.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where I was when everything was happening. Sean Uehara, shout out, came over with his fucking laptop to show me how fucked up everything was.
Oh, no. He was like, let me just present you with a big downer.
Like the biggest downer. And so...
The biggest.
I'm like, I need to close this loop. I need to close this wound.
Oh, I like that idea.
Of this
Kate.
Place, you know? And so I want to do some kind of reparative something out there at the Headlands to end the psychic blast that is happening in my brain from that landscape.
I love that. Yeah. I think that's a great idea.
So.
I'm fully into it. It's kind of bad cell phone, bad reception out there. So I'm just worried that you might not.
And we were
glad
like, oh, cool. We'll be out of broadcast range.
Yeah, you won't have to know every second until.
And then sure enough, Sean comes creeping out of his lair.
No shade, Sean. We love you so much. But damn, what a way to ruin someone's experience of nature.
It was awful. And, like, there were a lot of, like, young interns and things there that night, and I feel, and some of them were, like, I think some of them were visiting America from other countries.
Oh, wow. Interesting time.
And so I think there were people being, like, having to explain to each other, like, what was going on.
Yeah. This is the election where the person that is the worst in the world won.
Yeah.
Maybe not in the world. That seems pretty dramatic. There's so many, there's have been so many worse leaders.
Yeah, for sure. Like Hitler.
Okay. Sorry. Anyhow, like people who like commit genocide, like to their
like Hitler.
Constituents. Yeah. And others. It's just like, oh God. Let's not think about it, guys. Hi, cats. Stop freaking out.
Okay. Well, let's give people a little break from the horror going on, the mental damage happening right now.
Should we do a little, not prayer, but a little something? Do you have a little saying, a little chant you can give us?
Let's go ahead.
A little posy. And,
what have we got, Mason?
Ladies and gentlemen, Maya Angelou.
Life doesn't frighten me. I wrote this poem for all children who whistle in the dark and who refuse to admit that they're frightened out of their wits. Shadows on the wall, noises down the hall, life doesn't frighten me at all. Bad dogs barking loud, big ghosts in a cloud, that doesn't frighten me at all. Mean old mother goose, lions on the loose, they don't frighten me at all. Dragons breathing flame on my counterpane, that doesn't frighten me at all. I go boo, make them shoo. I make fun, way they run. I won't cry, so they fly. I just smile, and they go wild. Life doesn't frighten me at all. Tough guys in a fight, all alone at night. Life doesn't frighten me at all. Panthers in the park, strangers in the dark, no, they don't frighten me at all. That new classroom where boys all pull my hair, they don't frighten me at all. Kissy little girls with their hair in curls, they don't frighten me at all. Don't show me frogs and snakes and listen for my screams. If I'm afraid at all, it's only in my dreams. I have got a magic charm that I keep up my sleeve. I can walk the ocean floor and never have to breathe. Life doesn't frighten me at all, not at all, not at all. Life doesn't frighten me at all.
What else?
What else? I did some, what's it called? Oh my God, how am I forgetting?
Phone banking.
I did phone banking this week, and I'm supposed to do more phone banking tonight.
How'd it go?
It was really hard. It was very hard.
What was your ratio of how many times people answered?
I got three answers to probably, I think I probably only called like, I want to say 25 to 30 people because that was so, I spent like the first hour doing the training and then I felt like I had to read up on all of the things because I was calling Arizona voters and I was like, I don't live in Arizona. I don't actually know what the politics are there or like what they're voting for.
They love freedom. they're very libertarian.
Yeah. So I needed to do a little research first. So it took me quite a while to feel like I could actually make phone calls. The thing is,
they're a neighbor, though, Mason.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, a neighbor. I was like, I wanted to call swing states specifically, obviously. And I think that's what the primary focus is right now on phone banking. So I called. It's all very easy to do. It's just stressful because you're calling people and, you know, after work hours. So they're at home. They're trying to, like, de-stress from whatever day they had. I personally don't actually like getting calls, like cold calls at that time. I, however, am a nice person. I'm like, hey, thanks so much for what you're doing. I really don't want to engage right now. Like, you know, like, I'll just say that kind of thing and be like, I appreciate it.
I usually just don't even answer at all.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know what we do. I don't answer if it's my cell phone. We still have a landline here. So if it's the landline, we generally pick up, even though we have caller ID and it tells us it's calling. So it's weird. So most people just actually don't pick up because they're like, I don't recognize this number. I'm not answering it, you know, which I totally get. And then a few people that did pick up were kind of like, you know, a little, they were annoyed. They're like, hey, it's the end of the day. Like, I don't, like, please don't do this. Like, you're making me have to feel annoyed and cranky at you. You know what I mean? So they were like, they're like, take us out, take me off the list. And I was like, I'm just, I am immediately compassionate, like, hey, I'm sorry. I know this is really can be very frustrating. This is an important time of the year. We want to make sure people are voting, you know, and they're like, just take me off the list. I'm like, okay, bye. Like, I just can't,
yeah.
I can't push, you know. And then
I've been doing text banking.
See, I couldn't find anyone that, where are you doing text banking through? Because I almost think
I'm doing it with MoveOn.org.
Okay, Move On. Because I'm working doing Swing Left, and they're all phone banking.
Hell yeah. I don't know. I think the phone banking is probably more effective.
It's probably more effective if you're able to get someone on the phone who is willing to give you a couple minutes of their time. And I think that is the hardest part. And I think it's kind of about finding that, like, that hook. Like, what is the first thing you can say to someone that's going to hook them in? And I haven't quite found that yet. But my last call,
it's intense.
My last call of the night was with this woman answered the phone. And I was actually supposed to be, for some reason, I was calling for her brother, but it was her phone number, which is very funny. But she was very nice. So we just ended up having a long, like a pretty decent conversation. And like, I checked in with her about whether or not she had a voting plan. And she's like, oh yeah, we have our ballots. We're planning on voting this week. You know, it's very whatever.
Yeah.
So hopefully if you do phone banking, which I think, you know, it's definitely worth trying it out. This is a very critical time, obviously, like I said earlier. Worth it. It's definitely puts you in a little bit of a challenging position. But if you've never been in a challenging position in your life, I think it's time to try that out.
I mean, now's the time, guys. Like after every, even if you know, it doesn't, you can do stuff for the local election. There's the DSA is doing phone banking to get people to vote yes on prop, which prop 15.
Okay.
The increase, you know, the closing the loophole to tax corporate.
Oh yeah,
shit. to closing the loophole on corporate taxes.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
sure.
A strong yes from the Congratulations Pine Tree Voter Guide. Yeah, yeah. Let's say it together, Maysoon.
Yes on Proposition 15.
So the DSA is doing phone banking for that. If you want to get involved with that kind of phone banking, then go ahead and do that. Okay, Maysoon, I got to end the podcast because I got to pee badly. Okay, well, everybody, take that bus from the bridge.
To the other bridge.
To the island in between. This has been Congratulations Pine Tree.